Is Daf Lamed Aleph. So we got to the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Beis HaKfaros. What he's referring to is that you could even set up an Erev for a Kohen in the Beis HaKfaros. Even though a Kohen can't go to the Beis HaKfaros, it's still allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, how's that allowed? A Kohen can't access it. How could that be a proper Erev? So the Gemara says, Tana, Mipnei sheyachol lachotz v'leilech b'shida v'teva u'migdal. He is able to get there, because if you could create a box of some sort, a chatzitza, and to protect him from the tumah, he's able to get to the Beis HaKfaros in that way. The Gemara says further, Kasavar oel zarek shmei oel. You might remember this from Masechah Shabbos, that a moving oel, an oel zarek that's being thrown, there's a debate whether that could still function as an oel to protect a kohen or someone inside. Some hold that if an oel zarek is being moved, it actually loses its ability to serve as an oel, while others say it does not lose the ability. This is very nogea actually for an airplane. An airplane is an oel. Let's say there's a Beis HaKfaros underneath, and the Beis HaKfaros, the tumah goes al rakia, and you have an airplane flying overhead, so it's an oel, because it's a chatzitza, has a proper shurim, but it's a moving oel, it's an oel zarek, so can an airplane serve as that? So it depends on this particular machlokas. So the Gemara says, again, that kasavar oel zarek shmei oel. Must be that Rabbi Yehuda allows a moving oel to still function as an oel. That's why the kohen can be transported in a box through Beis HaKfaros and still remain tower, because it is considered an oel. Ubeplug sedahani tanai. It's dependent on the machlokas tanai in the Masechah Shabbos, the Tanya. Hanichnas le'eret ha'amim b'shida teva u'migdal. There's a din of tumas ha'amim, which means chutzlarts. There's a tuma for a kohen to go outside. He's tamei midirbanim. But the Gemara says, if you go to eret ha'amim, which again is chutzlarts, b'shida teva u'migdal, Rebbe mitamei, because he holds oil zark is not an ohel, but Rebbe Yosi b'Rebbe Yehuda mitar. What's the machlokas, like we just said, that mar saver oel zarek lavish me ohel, and therefore in a moving box it doesn't serve as an ohel, it's not a chazitza, and one would be tamei. Umar saver, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that oel zarek shme ohel does still serve as an ohel. So that is the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that a kohen can actually access a Erev that might be situated in a Beis HaKfaros. So Gemara now is going to ask a few questions revolving around Tumah. Hopefully it will be understandable. V'had Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, going on to Daf Lamed Aleph, that which it says, Ma'arvin l'kohen tahor, b'chuma tahora. We're describing here a kohen who's tahor, and the chuma that's tahora. If chuma is tamea, you can't eat chuma tamea. And if the kohen is tamei, the kohen can eat chuma tahora. So it has to be a case where both the kohen is tahor and the chuma remains tahor. But the problem is, so if that's the case, if it's a kohen tahor eating chuma tahora, bekever heichi azel, how is he going to access it? He's going to access it. The Gemara says, like we just said, b'shida b'teva u'migdal, in some type of box, and it'll be transported through the box and it'll remain tahor. But v'ha kevin de'achte itamile. But the Gemara says, where is the chuma? The chuma is a Beis HaKfaros. So we figured out how to get the kohen there, but isn't the chuma situated in a Beis HaKfaros? Now the chuma becomes tamei because it's in a kever, on top of a kever. So the Gemara says, "Bishelo huchshuru o shenilu shabimei peros." There's a klal that in order for food to become tamei, it first has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids. The seven liquids are blood, water, dew, honey, oil, wine, milk. I think I said all of them. Maybe I missed one. But seven liquids, the Shiva Mashkim. So if apple, let's say, falls from the tree, apple that's attached to the tree, you can't become tamei. It has to be talish. Now, even when the apple is detached from the tree, it has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids first. Now it's called huchshul tumah. It's now susceptible to tumah. And if a nevela or tamei mace touched it, now it can become tamei. But if the food never came into contact with any liquid, it actually can't become tamei. A mace could touch the food all day long, but if the food never touched liquid, it's not tamei. So the Gemara says we're talking about chuma that never came into contact with liquid. Shelo huchshuru, it was never susceptible. It didn't touch the seven mashim. Or even if it did have a liquid, it was meperos. Fruit juice is not machshir tuma. It's not one of the seven liquids. It's not honey. It's not milk. It's not oil, and so on. So it's talking about a case where the chuma can't become tamei. It's not huchshuru. So the chuma is in the Beis HaKfaros, and the kohen now accesses it through the box, so he's protected. So now he's taken to the Erev, but he's able to eat it. But the Gemara says, still, I don't fully get this question here, but the Gemara says, "Uhechi maisile." How do you get it from, once the kohen gets out of the chuma, once he gets out of the box, rather, so now he takes the food. So now the food is going to become tamei, or that the kohen become tamei because there's an ohel. In other words, there's a concept that even though the food might not be huchshel tumah, but if it's an ohel of a kever, the kever has the ability to make it tamei. So that's what the Gemara assumes. So the Gemara says, no, it's a situation whereby pshute kli'eitz delo makabli tumah. If you, again, the point right now, the Kohen gets into the Beis Karos. So now he can't stand on the kever, because once he's on the kever, he's tamei. So he got through the cemetery, he's now standing right next to the kever, but there's a separation, he's like an inch away. But the chuma is on the kever. So now when he extends his hand to get the chuma, so now he's going to become tamei.
It seems that he's talking about he's holding a kli.
Well, the Gemara's about to say that, which kli he's using. But right now, we don't know what kli. So when he's trying to pull the chuma, he's going to become tamei somehow, getting the chuma. So you have to use a type of kli that will actually serve as a chatzitza, to which the Gemara says, and to Ricky's point, b'pshute kli eitz delo mekabli tumah. There's a din by kli eitz, wooden utensil. A wooden utensil is only mekabel tumah, only if it has a base kibble, if it's has a bowl or a cup to hold it. If it's flat, it's a flat piece of wood, a pshute kli eitz is called, it's not mekabel tumah. So the situation where he uses a board of wood to kind of scoop up the tumah, so he's not extending his hand over, he's using a pshute kli eitz to get the tumah to him, and since a pshute kli eitz cannot be mekabel tumah, everything remains fine, the Gemara says. But the Gemara says there's still a problem. Even if he extends his board of wood to scoop up the chuma, there's a different din, v'ha kamahil. Isn't it serving as an ohel? So granted that the pshute kli eitz itself isn't a kli, but if it serves as an ohel, so if it serves as an ohel, then the pshute kli eitz is able to transfer the tuma, because it's an ohel over the kever, it serves as an ohel to bring the tuma up to the chuma that's on top of it. And the Gemara says, d'maisile achode. It's a situation where he's very capable here, and I guess, I don't know, athletic of some sort, or he knows how to maneuver. He uses the board on the side of it. He's not using the board flat way. He turns it, let's say this is the board. He's not using it like this to scoop it up. He kind of uses it on the side there, scoops up that way, and since it's on the side, it doesn't serve as an ohel. An ohel would be like this, but he's using it like that. The narrow side scoops up the chuma somehow, so the chute that creates is not an ohel. It's not makabel tumah because it's not a kli. He's able to scoop up the chuma, and he remains tower. The chuma remains tower, and this is the fancy way he gets it, and that's a way to access an Erev Tchumim, even if it is in a base kvaros.
It seems that if it's less than a tefach, it's fine. So it's 0.9 of a tefach. It has some sort of...
The side of it, the edge of it. Yeah. So then the Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the case, my time adirabanim. Rabbi Yehuda is the only one in the Mishnah who allows you to set up an Erev for a Kohen in the Beis Klaros. The Rabbanan say you can't. Why not? If you did this technique of scooping up the chuma on the side of the wood, shouldn't the Rabbanan agree also that the Kohen remains tower and the chuma remains tower? So the Gemara says there's a completely different Indian coming on here. Nothing to do with Tum at all. The reason why Rabbanan say you can't set up an Erev Tchumim in the Beis Klaros has nothing to do with the Kohen at all. It has something to do with what the Gemara says, Kasavre Usser Liknos Bais B'Isuri Hana. You cannot establish a house in a place that's Usser. In other words, I can't set my Erev in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a Makum Hektish. I can say, okay, I'm setting up a shop, my Erev in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a place you can't get Hana from. A base Kvaros, a mace, one can't get Hana from either. Just look at Rashi, all the way to the end of Rashi, the last narrow line of Rashi. Rashi explains here, Usser Liknos Bais B'Isuri Hana. Bekever, the kever, you can't get hana from a mace. V'ha hanahi, what's the hana of establishing an Erev? Because the mishtari bay lemefik chutz l'tchum, because now you're getting hana of an extended 2,000 amos to walk outside the tchum. V'chol tashmishe hamace asurin b'hana, you can't get hana from a mace, from the dead. The naf galamba Sanhedrin, the Gemara Sanhedrin teaches us, it says in the pasuk v'tamas sham Miriam, the word sham when Miriam dies, and we have a gzer shava v'gamar sham sham me'egla rufa. Egla rufa is asur b'hana. Through the gzer shava of sham sham, mace is also asur b'hana, so you can't get hana. So therefore, Vafilu be Yisrael Nami, even Yisrael, forgetting a Kohen, even Yisrael can't get Hana from an Erev set up in the Beis Klaros, because Asir Rabbanan, that's the understanding here. So nothing to do with Tumah, having to do with the Isser Hana here. So the Gemara says, Michlal, the Rabbi Yehuda Asavar Mutter, does this imply that one would be allowed to, that Rabbi Yehuda thinks you can get Hana? Because he says a Kohen can have an Erev Tchum in the Beis Klaros, so it must be you can get Hana from a Beis Klaros. So Gemara says, no, kesaver mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu. He holds that when it comes to a davar mitzvah, you can't get hana from a mitzvah. Rashi explains here, mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu, ve'ein ma'arvin elo davar mitzvah. There is an opinion, we saw this already, that you could only say up an erev tumim if you're going for a mitzvah to go here, a shir, to go, I don't know, some type of sudas mitzvah, the lech is the base avel, or the base amishta, these types of mitzvahs, you're allowed to say it up an erev tumim. So since it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, any hana that is there, we actually ignore it. It's not considered hana, and therefore it's allowed. So even though I can't get hana from the base kvaros, but since it's for the purpose of a mitzvah to extend my walk, to go to a mishteh, to go to a base avil, the hana is not called hana, because in the context of mitzvah, we ignore all types of hanas. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So there's a lot to talk about here. I'm not sure what I should talk about, but let's talk about this in the Ran writes, actually, by mitzvahs lav lehenos nindu. The Ran writes, it's only true, it's machlokes Rishonim, it's only true that the schar of the mitzvah is not called hana. I get a geschmack from the mitzvah. The Gemara says, that's not called hana, that's called a mitzvah, that's not called hana. But the Ran says, if I'm getting some type of physical hana aside from the mitzvah, that would be a problem. In other words, if I make a nether, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, I'm moder hana, I'm going to make a nether, I can't, you know, go to the, I can't go to a water to take a bath. So let's say I need to go to the mikvah. So Gemara says, I could go to the mikvah, because that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is lav lehenos ninu. Ah, I can't get hana? That's not called hana, because I'm doing the mitzvah of going to the mikvah. But if it's in the summer, the Gemara says, and going to the mikvah means that I'm going to be cooled off, that will be hana, because that's physical hana. That's not the schar. That's not hana from the schar mitzvah. That's ha physical hana outside of the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, I cannot go to the mikvah in the Besa and the Yomos HaChama, because I'm getting physical hana of being cooled off in the sun. So they ask a question, the Shar Melech asks a question based on this Ran here. So here, when I'm setting up the Erev to go to the Beis HaMishta, so I'm getting physical hana. Rashi says, why am I setting up an Erev? So I could go 2,000 amos to go to a Beis HaMishta, to go to a party. Isn't that physical hana? So how come the Gemara says, mitos lav lenos into? I am getting hana from the Beis HaMishta. And the Ran says, whenever I'm getting hana, that's actually a problem. So I shouldn't be allowed to extend it. That's considered hana. I shouldn't be allowed to, because I am getting hana from the base kvaros, because it allows me to go get physical hana, be part of this mishta. So the Shar Melech says, it's only us exactly when you're getting hana from the actual chetzah, like the water. Here, the Erev Tchumim is the what I'm getting hana from the base kvaros, but my actual physical hana is something separate by the base mishta. There's a grum, it's indirect. Again, when I go to the mikvah, it's happening at the same time. When I go into the mikvah, I'm getting the physical hana of being cooled off. But setting up the tchum in the base kvaros, that's not the hana. The hana comes later on when I walk 2,000 amos to go to the base mishta, and therefore the Ran could ignore the hana that comes later on. It's more indirect. Either way, we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to set it up in the base kvaros, because since it's a mitzvah, we could ignore any hana, it's lav lehenos nindu, and we don't have to be concerned with the iser hana of the base kvaros. So Gemara then says, wait a sec. Elaha dama Rava, that which Rava says, that mitzvah is lav lehenos nindu, that he's the one who holds this in general, that when you do a mitzvah, we don't consider the mitzvah being hana. Lema kitanai amra l'shmaisa. Let's say his shmeisa, which is an Amorek statement, when an Amora says something, it's called a shmeisa. Let's say his statement is really a tanai. Really machlokas tanai. Meaning it sounds like what Rava says hinges on the machlokas in our mishnah between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanan say you can't put an Erev in the base kvaros, because he assumes mitzvos are lehenos nitnu, and you're getting hana from the base kvaros. While Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to place the Erev Tchumim in the base kvaros because mitzvot lav lehenos nindu. So we see this statement of Rava really is a machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah and Maseches Erevin. And the Gemara says no. Amar lach Rava. Rava says back, Yisvir lehu, if you hold, de'ein marvin ela ledvar mitzvah. If you assume that you're only allowed to set up an Erev Tchumim if you're going to perform a mitzvah, if that's the assumption that you have and that's the position you take, everybody agrees that mitzvahs are not for hana, which means you'd be allowed to set it up. So Erev Tchumim is for a mitzvah only. I could set it up in a base kvaros. That's allowed because we don't assume there's hana by a mitzvah. But however, what's the machlokas here? Here, however, the machlokas between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda is a hacha b'hakamifli. They're arguing about Mar Saver Ein Marvin Ela Dvar Mitzvah Umar Saver Marvin Afilu Dvar Rishus. The very machloket between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda is when you set up an Erev Tchumim, does it have to be limited only for a Dvar Mitzvah, like a Beis Evel or a Beis Smisha, or can it be used for any purpose that you want, even for Dvar Rishus? So what comes out is that Rabbi Yehuda holds you could only set up an Erev Tchumim for a Mitzvah, and that's why he allows you to set up an Erev in a Beis Karos, because a Mitzvah are allowed to let us into. So once you set up the mitzvah in the Beis Kvaros, by definition it's a mitzvah. Once you set up the Erev, rather, in the Beis Kvaros, it has to be a mitzvah for Yehuda, because you can't set up an Erev if it's not a mitzvah. So if it's a mitzvah, he also assumes mitzvahs lav lehenes nindu, and there's no problem of getting hana from this Beis Kvaros. But Rabbanan hold that an Erev Tchumim could be used even for Dvar Rishus, even for something that I just want to go for a stroll for Dvar Rishus, and therefore, if it's a Dvar Rishus, it would be a problem of getting hana from the Beis Kvaros. That's why Rabban argue and say you cannot set up an Erev in the Beis Kvaros. So now the Gemara says, it's a little bit tricky still. Elaha damar Rav Yosef. That which Rav Yosef says, Ein Marvin el Dvar Mitzvah. He holds very strongly that you could only set up an Erev for Dvar Mitzvah. So Lema Kitanai Amrat L'Shmaisa. So now the way we just explained the Machlokas is the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon is about whether or not you could make an Erev for Dvar Mitzvah only, or even Dvar Rishus. Rav Yosef says that only Dvar Mitzvah. He's an Amora. So now it sounds like his statement is really dependent on this Machlokas Tanayim. So the Gemara says no. Amalach Rav Yosef. Yosef says back, my understanding of the Mishnah is as follows. The Chuli Alma Ein Marvin El Dvar Mitzvah. Everybody agrees it's a given. He thinks that you can only set up an Erev Tchumim for Dvar Mitzvah. And also he writes another given, also, there's no problem at all of getting hana from a mitzvah. So therefore, since it's only for the Dvar Mitzvah, he said you're allowed to place an Erev Tchumim in a Beis Kvaros, because it's only used for a mitzvah, and mitzvahs are lav lehenosinu. So there's no iser hana. So if that's the case, so what's the machlokas? If really everyone holds that Tchum is only for the Dvar Mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lehenosinu, why would Rabbanan say you can't keep an Erev Tchum in a Beis Kvaros? So the Gemara answers because Bahakamifka, they're arguing about a different topic. Mar Savar Kaven the Kanile Erev Lo Nichale Dimitri. What is the essence of the Erev Tchum? Is the point is to just establish an initial kinyan, a base deer, and that's it? Or should it be preserved and watched over time? So according to Behuda, all you need is the initial kinyan, and that's it. So that's what the Gemara says. Kaven the Kanile Erev, once the Erev was Kone the Makam for you, Lo Nichale Dimitri. He doesn't care that it's protected. He doesn't care that it remains Tame or Tower. He could completely ignore it at that point, and therefore there's no continued Hana, it's allowed. However, Chacham argue, and they say, no, Mar Savar Nichale Dimitri. He wants it to remain protected and Shamor, and therefore there's considered continued Hana as Erev Tchum remains in the Beis Kvaros, so there would be a problem of getting additional Hana from the Beis Kvaros. Because the itzarech achale, if he gets hungry, he's allowed to eat it if he so chooses. And therefore, since Rabban hold that you want the Erev Tchumim to remain intact, there's considered additional hana from the Beis Kvaros, and that would in fact be an isar hana. Because the mitzvah is only the moment you place it down. But the additional preserving of the food, that's not a mitzvah anymore. That's not necessary. That's just an additional benefit. That would fall into the problem of there being an isar hana. Okay, that ends this conversation. There happens to be an interesting Tosos here. I'll just say it outside before we go to the next Mishnah. The Tosos, Dibur Maaseh B'Pshutei Kli Eitz. Tosos points out that it sounds like from the Gemara here that there's no Ptumah at all by Pshutei Kli Eitz, not even a Ptumah Midrabanan. It's completely Tahor. But he points out the other Gemara seem to indicate that there is Tumah Midrabanan by Pshutei Kli Eitz. So he gives three different answers how to reconcile the Gemara. The first answer he says, the Gemara that implies that there is Tumah Midrabanan is not accepted halacha. We assume halacha, there's no Tumah Midrabanan by Pshutei Kli Eitz. The second answer Tosfos gives is that there's a difference between how wide that board is. If it's very wide and therefore more usable, then he says there is Tumah Midrabanan. If it's narrow, it would not be so usable and there would not be Tumah Midrabanan. And the third answer he says is, depends what the purpose is. If the purpose of the board was to be used by Bnei Adam, it would have a Tumah Midrabanan. If it was not meant for Adam, then it would not be Tumah Midrabanan. So those are three answers of Tosfos reconciling the two different Gemaras. Okay, let's go to this new Mishnah now on the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, now Pini, this goes against to your question you had yesterday, my question, this is the point right now. The Mishnah says, Ma'arvin b'demai, you're allowed to use demai for an Erev Tchumim. Demai is a situation where you weren't sure if the farmer took meiser. The farmer, when he collects his fruit, he's supposed to separate meiser, but you weren't sure because many of the farmers were very ignorant, and they may not have taken meiser. So it's a question of demai, a suffix, whether you have to take it or not. So ma'arvin b'demai, you can ma'arvin b'meiser rishon shenala chumaso. Meiser rishon is that when the farmer first gives truma to the kohen, and then meiser rishon goes to the levi. So you're allowed to give meiser rishon. You could use meiser rishon as an erev tchumim, and as long as the truma was taken first. Uver meiser sheni, uver hekdesh sheniftu. Meiser sheni is fruit that you're supposed to take to Yishalayim. So after the farmer gives food to the truma to the kohen rather, then he gives meiser rishon to the levi. Then there's meiser sheni. He takes a second round of tenth of meiser that he takes to Yishalayim. But let's say he redeemed it and took the money to Yishalayim, and then he redeemed it onto other food, or a hekdesh that he redeemed, you could use that as well. We'll see the chiddush of all these. That could also be used as Erev Tchumim. And Kohanim could use chala and shuma, because the kohen could eat chala, and the kohen eat shuma, he could use that as well. What can't be used for Erev Tchumim, avalo b'tevel, v'lo b'meiser rishon, shalo not la chumaso, tevel, where nothing was taken, where chuma hasn't been taken, or you have meiser rishon, where the chuma wasn't taken yet. And these items that wasn't yet redeemed, those two are not allowed to be used either, because it's usher to eat, and since it's usher to eat all those last items, you can't use as Erev Tchumim either. So the Gemara now says, demai. So halachazile. Right, demai, you can't eat demai. Demai, you have to take meiser. So how am I allowed to use demai as my Erev Tchumim? It's not roi for me to eat. And so the Gemara says, this was a Penny's question yesterday, Dibai mafker lehula nichsa. If he wanted, he could be mafker his property, v'havi ani, he'd become an ani, v'chazulei, and an ani is actually allowed to eat demai, because demai is a chumra. Chachamim say, we don't know, it's a suffix, so you have to separate maiser. When you buy, fruit from the supermarket, from the marketplace, you don't know where it came from. So as a chumra, they say, take maiser from everything that you buy, unless it's a proper ashkacha. But they said, when it comes to an ani, guy's got no money. So they didn't impose the chumra of separating meiser and demai, and Ani's allowed to eat the demai without having to separate meiser. So in theory, I could be mafka my property, become an Ani. If I'm an Ani, I don't have to eat, I don't have to separate meiser anymore. I can eat demai straight. So it is, in theory, fit. It is right to me to a certain extent. So the Gemara says, since in theory I could do that, again, the boy mafka lehu linichs, I could in theory mafka my property, and havi ani, I'd become an ani, and therefore chazilei, it'd be fit for me, hashunami chazilei. So even though right now I haven't yet been mafka my property, it's still considered roi to me, chazilei, and I can eat demai, and I could use it as erev tchumim. The Tzan, the Mishnah says, machilnes anim demai, you could serve anim demai, ves achsanya, the different soldiers that would stay in the homes of the yidden, you could also serve them demai. But that's what we're relying on. And Amar Rav Huna on Tamar Beis now, Tana Beis Shami Omer, the Gemara actually says it's a machlokus whether you can serve demai to an ani. Beis Shami Omer ain machilin es anim demai, but Beis Hillel, who of course we pass like Omer, machilin es anim demai. So even though I'm not an ani, I can become an ani if I want to do by being mafki my property. Now the problem here is the Rishonim asked the Achronim asked the question, how can I be mafki my property on Shabbos? It's usher to be mafkir on Shabbos. So the Meiri actually proves from this Gemara that you see, Taka, you're allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos. He says you're allowed to. It's a machlokas Rishonim. The Ritvan, the Rabban, say you're not allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos because they compare it to be making a kinyan. I can't buy and sell things on Shabbos. So they think being mafkir is the same thing. There's a big machlokas in the Rishonim. When I'm mafkir property, is that simply me being masalik my rishus? Is it simply me relinquishing rights? Or am I actually being makna over to whoever picks up the hefker? So some think it's a form of a transaction, therefore it should be usher on Shabbos. Others think I'm just relinquishing rights. It's not a kinyan. I'm just taking away my rights. I'm not being makne to whoever picks it up. So they say this machlokas is it really plays it comes into play here. So if you assume that you can't be mafkir on Shabbos, that's actually usher. So what's the explanation here in the Gemara? So the Gemara says that the Shar Melch answers the following. We already touched upon this the other day a little bit. That tchum takes effect bein hashmashos when Shabbos begins. Bein hashmashos, you're allowed to do a shvus bein hashmashos, right? Between shki and seis, bein hashmashos, I could tell a goy to do something for me. Amir la'akum is asr in Shabbos, but it's a shvus. But if I need something, I'm allowed to do amir la'akum during bein hashmashos to go buy something for me on Shabbos, to go turn the flame for me on Shabbos. It's bein hashmashos. So just like amir la'akum is permitted during bein hashmashos, so too, I could be mafkir my property, which is being mafkir, it's only an isser midirban, only shvus, I could also do that during bein hashmashos. And since the creation of tchum takes place during bein hashmashos, I, in theory, could have become an ani b'shmashos, and therefore my tchum, erev tchum, would actually be in effect for that Shabbos. That's the understanding of the Shaar HaMelech. Okay, let's go weiter now. Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We are four lines down. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah further. U'maisa rishon shenot la tshumasa. So the way it works is that if I, again, the farmer took truma, gave it to the Kohen, Ezra's our Kohen here, and then he takes Maisa Rishon, gives it to the Levi. So the din is, you're allowed to use Maisa Rishon as a Erev Tchum. So Gemara Sepshita, of course you can. Maisa Rishon is not Aser, I'm a Levi, so I'm giving the Maisa Rishon. But if I give it to anyone else, Ricky, to eat, it's not Aser for him to eat, it's not truma. I have the ownership to it, but it's not Aser to eat. So of course, any person could set up Maisa Rishon as an Erev Tchum, because it's edible for anyone. So it's an obvious point. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah here that you could use Maisa Rishon to set up the Erev Tchum? So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha shikdima b'shivalim, v'notla mimenu tshumas meiser, v'notla mimenu tshuma gadol. So there's a din that you're supposed to go in order of how you separate the tshumas and meisers. So the first thing you do is you separate tshuma, then you separate Maisa Rishon. Now, when the Levi gets Maisa Rishon, when I get my Maisa Rishon, I need to give a second adding. I need to give Trumas Maisa, it's called, to the Kohen. So again, let's say there are 100 grapes. So 1/50th is Truma. You give 2 grapes to Ezra the Kohen. 98 left. So you take 10%. So around 10 more. You take 10 grapes. Give Maisa Rishon to the Levi. So I get 10 grapes. And the farmer's left with 88 grapes now. So of the 10 grapes I get, I, as a Levi, Maisa Rishon, I need to take Trumas Maisa. I need to take a tenth of the tenth that I got to give to the Kohen. So I take one of my 10 grapes, that's a tenth, to give that Shumas Meiser to the Kohen. So Ezra gets 2 grapes from the farmer, gets 1 grape from my Rishon. That's the normal practice. And what happened here was, let's say they jumped the gun. The farmer circumvented the giving of the Truma. He didn't give Truma. He gave Meiser Rishon before ever giving Truma in the Shibam, when they're still in the stalks. They weren't processed, they weren't put into piles yet. They're still in the stalks. He cut them in stalks. He gave Maisa Rishon to me first and didn't give to the Truma, to the Kohen actually. And that point actually, there is no Indian of taking Truma from the Maisa. The Gemara says, the farmer gives Truma, but I, as a Levi, gave my Maisa Rishon. I don't need to give Truma. I need to give Truma's Maisa, but I don't need to give the Truma that the Kohen, that the farmer didn't give. Everyone following me? Let's read that again. The Gemara says, Lo tzricha shikdima b'shivam, where the farmer jumped the gun, he was ikdima, he was makdim by separating Maisa when they're Shibam, when they're still in the stalks. Minatla mimeno chumas meiser. He took away chumas meiser from the meiser rishon. V'lo nala mimeno chuma gadol, but never took away the initial chuma gadola. Uchad Rabbi Abo Amar Reish Lakish Amar Rabbi Abo Amar Reish Lakish meiser rishon shehikdima b'shivalon pater mitchuma gadola. If you actually, the farmer actually gives meiser rishon before giving chuma gadola, which is referring to the initial chuma, you're actually pater from bringing chuma gadola. It's just a technicality. Shenamar, Pontic says, Varimos mimenu chumas Hashem, Meiser. So Meiser mina Meiser, the Pontic says, you have to separate chuma and take Meiser from the Meiser, meaning Meiser mina Meiser, Martilacha, Lomit Shuma Gdola, which was Meiser mina Meiser. What that means is, when the Levi gets Meiser, Rishon, I need to give Meiser from my Meiser. Meiser mina Meiser, it's called. That's a chumas Meiser I take from my Meiser Rishon, but I don't need to give the Chuma Gdola, the initial 1/50th, that I don't have to give. That's the dik again. The Gemara says, when you say Maisa Mina Rishon, you have to take the Maisa Mina Maisa Marti Lecha, the Chuma Gdola, the Chuma's Maisa Mina Maisa. So what the Gemara is teaching me here is that if you were given Maisa Rishon, I separate Chuma's Maisa, but I did not separate Chuma Gdola from it, I'm actually allowed to use that as my Tchum, because at that point there's no need to go back to give Chuma Gdola. That was, again, incorrectly circumvented, but in the end it was circumvented, and you don't have to fix it. And the Tchidosh is, you're allowed to use that as Erev Tchum.
And that can you just give Meiser on 100% or 98%? Theoretical 98%.
Only 100. Wait, the farmer did the mistake, so he took on 100.
But he has to give 100%.
Yeah, and he lost the opportunity to give Chuma anymore. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so this is all a discussion only when they separated the Chuma, or they separated Meiser when they're still in the stalks. They weren't put into piles. But Amalei Rapapa says, Labaye, Iyachi, that's the case, Afiluk Dimu Bekrinami. So let's say the Kri, now the way it worked, they had the stages here. When they had the stalks set up, then they put them in piles. Now when they put them in piles, at that point, there's actually a Chi of Chuma. There's no Chi of Chuma when they're in the stalks. Now he could separate Chuma, but there's no Chi until he made a nice pile of all the stalks of wheat together, or the piles of grapes. So let's say what happened, he made the piles, the Kri it's called, he made the pile of grapes, or the pile of wheat, and he didn't separate Chuma. He was supposed to, but he didn't separate Shuma, and he only separated Maaser Rishon to give to the Levi. So one would think the Gemara said, Ihachi, that's the case. Afilu Dima Bakrinami. Even if he separated Maaser before Shuma when it's in the pile, he should also be put there from having to give Shuma because he circumvented Shuma. And the Gemara says, no, Amrle Alecha Makra, about you I say the Pasuk, Mikol Masosechem Tarimu Es Kol Shumas Hashem. The Pasuk says, from all the Maasers you're supposed to take the Shuma. So that's an extra pasuk that all meisers, you have to take chuma. It sounds like you should take chuma even after taking meiser. So that teaches us that you're supposed to take chuma even after taking meiser. What's the difference? Marisa, ha'idgan, ha'lo'odgan. So again, it's a little bit confusing here. So what's going on here is as follows. That dagan, the pasuk says, digancha, tiroshcha, v'yitzarcha. You have to take chuma from that which is dagan, that which is tiroshcha, that which is yitzarcha. Dagan is the five grains, tiroshcha is grapes, and yitzarcha is referring to olive oil and olives. So the Gemara is saying here, when it became a dagan, dagan's a word that's used when you made the piles of the grains. So when there's a dagancha, when there's a dagan, when there's a pile, there's a chiv chuma, and even if you separate Maaser Rishon before the chuma, it's too late. You still have to go back and fix the chuma. There already existed a chiv chuma. But if it wasn't a dagan yet, if it wasn't yet a pile, it was still in stalks, separate stalks, there is no chiv chuma. And if I were to separate Maaser Rishon before separating chuma, I would not have to go back to separate chuma gadol. That's the difference, the Gemara says. A bit tricky. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, Maaser Sheni Vehekdesh Sheniftu. If you have Maaser Sheni, so the way Maaser Sheni works again is I'm supposed to take my fruit as the farmer and take it to eat Yerushalayim. I decide to redeem the fruit onto coins, and my plan is to take the coins and to buy other food in Yerushalayim. That's completely what to do so. So now the initial fruit that was once Maaser Rishon, it's now no longer Maaser Rishon because I transferred the Kedusha onto the coins. And Hekdesh, if I makdish an apple, and now I've redeemed the apple onto coins, the apple's now chun. So I'm allowed to use the Maaser Sheni in Hekdesh that you transfer the Kedusha off it. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course. Once I was poed it, I redeemed the Kedusha, of course it's regular food, regular chun, of course I could use it. Freyav Tchum, what's the Chiddush? And the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, Shenosin es HaKeren, V'lo Nosin es HaChomesh. When a person is makdish Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh, when he's poed it, he not only has to pay the keren, the actual market value of the fruit, he needs to pay an additional chomesh, an additional one-fifth of the value on top of that. So when this guy, the farmer, he was poed it, he did pay the keren, but he did not pay the chomesh. He didn't pay the additional one-fifth penalty. So maybe you think it shouldn't be a good pidyon yet, and it should be also to use the Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh until you've given the chomesh. Kamash v'lan, de'ena chomesh ma'akev, the giving the chomesh is not me'akev, the pidyon, and you could go ahead and use it for Erev Tchumim. Further, the Gemara says, avalo tevel, you cannot use tevel. If you have tevel, which is fruit that has not yet been separated, chuma or meiser, it's asati. So that can't be used for air because it's asr. Gemara says, pshita, of course, if it's tevel, of course you can't eat it. Gemara says, lo tricha betevel tuvel midirbanim. Of course, tevel bederaisa, that's pashit, it's asr to eat, and that's asr to be used as air tchumim. But we're talking about tevel that's only asr midirbanim. What's tevel that's only asr midirbanim? Kigon shizaro beatit sheno nakiv. If you plant it in a pot that's not perforated, there's no hole. So if I have a pot of, grapes growing, or wheat growing, and there's a hole in the bottom of it, so we assume that the ground is yonic all the way up to the pot, and even though it's not physically attached, we view it as attached halachically, it's actually chayiv midirbanan, rather midiraisa. All the fruit that grows there is chayiv on a deraisa level. But if it's a pot that actually has no hole, it's completely separate from the ground, and that would be only chayiv on a dirabanan level, so that if I have fruit from there, from that pot, that would be only tevel midirbanan. You might have thought that can be used as erev tchumim kamashlon, that even tevel midirbanan in such an atzitz sheino nakav that has a hole in it, even that is aser to be used for erev tchumim. Gemara says further, v'lo b'maaser rishon shelo not la chuma. So if I maaser rishon and you did not separate the chuma, you can't use pshita. Of course you can't use it because you haven't separated chuma. It's aser to eat until you separate chuma. And the Gemara says, lo tzricha deshekdima b'kri, v'nala mimenu chumas maaser, v'lo not la mimenu chumas gdol. It's a case that we said above. If you have a pile of fruit, and the farmer only separated maaser rishon, and then separated chumas maaser, but he didn't separate chuma gadola, so mao the same, what would you have thought? Maybe you could use that fruit because he circumvented chuma gadola. Maybe we should assume kedamar leira papala baye, that maybe if you are makdim the maaser to the chuma, you don't have to separate chuma at that point. Kamashman kedishani lay, that no. If you did that when it became a pile already, when it was a kri, and there's a chi of chuma, even if you separate maaser rishon first, you must go back and separate Shema Gedola, and that's why it doesn't work as an Erev Chumim. And finally, before the next mission, let's just finish. V'lom Meiser Sheni v'Hekdesh Shelo Niftu. If it was Meiser Sheni v'Hekdesh that wasn't redeemed, that you can't use either for Erev Pshita. Of course you can. If you didn't redeem it, it's Hekdesh. You can't eat it. It's Meiser Sheni. You can't eat it until you bring it to Yerushalayim. Of course you can't use it as Erev. What's the Chiddush? Pshita, the Gemara says, Lo Tzicha Shepadan V'lo Padan. You did a redemption, but not a true redemption. What does that mean? Kilchasan, you didn't do it properly. It's Meiser Shepadu Agava Asimon. So Machlokas Rashi tells what an Asimon is, but the way Rashi understands is you redeemed it onto a coin that has no tsura, that's not accepted in the currency. It doesn't have the face of Abraham Lincoln or whoever's on the face of the coin. It's not a full coin, and therefore it wasn't the proper pidyon. It's a partial pidyon. The Rachmana Amr, the Torah says, v'tzarata kesef, that you made a pile of the kesef, and they make a drasha. Tzarata means kesef sheyesh alav tsura. A kesef that has a tsura, that has an image on it. Hekdesh shechilu agave karka, the Rachmana Amr. So the first case, where you're poed to the Meiser Sheni on an Asimon, which has no tsura, that's puzzle. And it's Hekdesh, where you're chala al gave karka, which doesn't work. You try to be poed to the Hekdesh onto property, that too doesn't work. Why? Because Rachman Amar, v'nasna kesef v'kamlo, you have to be poed the kesef, rather Hekdesh, on kesef, which is in the Sina, which you could give, which is metalton, but you can't be poed the Hekdesh on karka, which is not movable. So these two cases are Meiser Sheni and Hekdesh, respectively, where you were poed there, but you poed it in the incorrect way. You would have thought maybe it should work as a Te'erf Chumim, because you did a pidyon. But the Gemara says, since you did a pidyon incorrectly, it doesn't work, and therefore it's Aser, and may not be used as Te'erf Chumim. Let's do the next mission. Now the mission tells us as follows: Hashalech erev biyad cheresh shot v'katan or biyad misha eino modeh erev eino erev. If you set up an erev to be set up, you send the cheresh shot v'katan as a shliach, or you send the person who doesn't agree to the concept of the erev. That erev doesn't work, and we'll see why that doesn't work in just a second in the Gemara. But im amar la'achar l'kablo b'menu hareza erev. If I, however, send the katan as a shliach and I say to some other guy, my friend Reuven, to be Makabel, the Erev on the other end, I trust Reuven that he'll do it, that's fine. All the Katan is serving as a middleman, but the Katan isn't establishing the Erev. If the Katan is establishing an Erev, that's a problem. But if he's just sending it to some other party on the other end, and the other end will receive it, that would actually be acceptable. So the Gemara says here that the Katan lo, a Katan can't set up an Erev. V'hamar of Kahuna, a Katan gove as an Erev, a Katan can set up an Erev. And so it's against our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha kan be'eruv tchumim, kan be'eruv chatzer. It depends. We know there are two types of eruvin. There are three, the eruv tafshilin as well, but we're not discussing eruv tafshilin now. Eruv tchum is setting up an eruv of shtei sudos, so I can walk 2,000 amos further. That's eruv tchumim. Eruv chatzeros is if you and I, or a few of us, have a chatzer that we share together. So even if there are walls in there, like we discussed, you also have to have one person own it. So we have to add, money to a pot, like the matzah. We talk about the matzah in the shul, and that our community, there's 1,000 people living here. So even though it's surrounded by a fence of the Erev, we don't own it. So by us, everyone's submitting money to have one matzah, we're all considered one community, one person, and that's called an Erev Chatzeros, that we all become one ownership. Very different than Erev Tchum, which is where I set up an ability to walk 2,000 amos further. So Gemara says, one case a katan can do, one case a katan cannot do. When it comes to an Erev Tchumim, the idea of Erev Tchumim, I'm trying to make a kinyan. I'm trying to establish a kinyan that I'm living in this space for the Shabbos. That's a real kinyan that a katan actually cannot establish. But an Erev Chaseros is not about creating a kinyan. If everyone just puts money in together, that's enough to establish an Erev Chaseros. But I don't need there to be an actual acquisition. Just put some money in the pot. There's no need for a handshake, no need for a kinyan. Just putting money in, that's enough to create an Erev Chaseros. So since less is necessary for an Erev Chateros, you don't need a kinyan, a katan actually can collect for an Erev Chateros, but a katan may not set up an Erev Tchum, because that requires a real kinyan. The Gemara then says, O b'yad mi she'ena mode be'erev, a person who does not admit to an Erev, that he's not allowed to do. Man, who is such a person? Amar Rav Chisda, Akusi. Akusi doesn't agree to an Erev, he's not allowed to do this. Why can't he do this? So the two reasons Rishon explained why Akusi can't set up an Erev. Either because, since he doesn't agree to it, Rechoshit, he's not going to follow through. He's suspect of not following through because he thinks the whole thing's a joke. And the other reason the Gemara says, for the Shliach to work, you need the Shliach to actually be in that Parsha. For example, the Gemara says, I cannot have an Eved Kanani be a Shliach to perform Kedushin for me. If I want to get married to my wife and to do Kedushin, I can set up a Shliach to do Kedushin for me. But to have an Eved Kanani, he can't. Because an Eved Kanani himself can't do Kedushim. If he can't do Kedushim, he can't be a Shliach for Kedushim. So since the Kuzi does not agree to the whole content, he can't serve as a Halachic Shliach because it doesn't work for him, because he doesn't agree to it. And let's finish off now. Last few lines, we'll go quick, just get it done. Gemara says, Im Amar La'acha L'Kablo Heimanu Harei Zair. If I tell another guy to catch it, to be the recipient on the other end, then I can actually send the Katan Cheresh and Shota to send it on the way, as long as another person on the other end who's establishing the Eruv. So the Gemara says, V'leichash Dimo L'mamtile. Maybe the Katan will never make its way to the guy waiting on the other end. So the Gemara says, Kedamar Rav Chisda be'omed v'ro'ehu, hachanami be'omed v'ro'ehu. Rav Chisda says in a different context, which we'll see shortly, that if you're standing over and you're watching its works, here as well, where I and the Meshalech, I'm sending the Katan, I could see the recipient on the other end a mile away, so that's why I saw him actually get there. So therefore, that's why it's acceptable. V'leichash Dimo lo shakol minei. Maybe the guy at the end didn't take it though. Maybe the katan got to my messenger on the other end, but maybe he refused to take it. So the Gemara says, no, Kedam Rav Yechiel Chazak, we have a Chazaka, Shliach Ose Shlichuso, that we have a concept that when we send the Shliach, we trust that he fulfills the message. He fulfills the mission, that's acceptable. Hachnami Chazaka Shliach Ose Shlichuso. So in other words, my recipient on the other end, he's a gadol. I asked him to please be makabel from the katan. So I trust that as a Shliach, he'll do it. The katan, I don't trust the katan. But the guy with the katan getting there, I saw the katan getting there, so I feel my bases are covered. I saw the katan get there. I trust my guy on the other end because the chazaka that shliach osa shlichuso, and everything's good, and therefore my erev is set up. So Gemara now wants to know, v'heichi itmar Rav Chisda, Rav Yechiel. Where do they say their initial statement of omid v'ra'ehu and the content of a chazaka shliach osa shlichuso? Where is the original statement that they said? So Gemara says, aha itmar. They said it on the following brisa. The Tani, the Brisa says, not a nisr lepil v'hochol lakof v'holicho angel erev. You have a very smart elephant and a smart monkey. You send your erev with an elephant to go bring it to a monkey. That's obviously not going to be an erev. However, vim amar la'ach lekablo heimanu hareza erev. But if I tell another guy to get erev from my elephant who's going to bring you over the erev, that's actually acceptable. That will work as an erev because it's not the elephant that's making the erev. He's just bringing the food so my friend on the other end will set up the erev. So the Gemara says, wait a second, v'dum alo mamtile, maybe the elephant won't make it over to my friend on the other end. To which Rav Chisda says, v'omid v'ro'ehu, where I'm watching the elephant make its way, so I see the elephant made it to my friend on the other end of the bridge, let's say. V'dum alo makabale mine, but maybe my friend didn't take it from the elephant's mouth or his trunk. Maybe he didn't take it. I'm Rav Yechiel, chazaka, shliach osa shlichuso. When you set up a shliach, you could trust as a chazaka that a shliach fulfills his mission, and therefore you've covered your bases, it's acceptable. Here as well in the Mishnah, if you tell a guy to be makabel from the katan, we could assume as long as you could watch him, you could assume everything has been completed perfectly. Sorry, as you had a question before, yeah.